It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letizia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letizia, and he's done it! Lambert! There's the reply! Barry at the heart! History made!
It's James Beattie. Oh, Belton!
Man, they've got a hat-trick!
Lifts it, and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Militant. Find me on Twitter, at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Part of the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to In That Number. This is episode 196. Proud to be a part of the Sport Social Network. This is our third installment of the series of our summer episodes that we're coining Fancast. Today we have another great guest. This time we welcome Stu Minchin. Welcome along to the show. It's been you haven't really joined you haven't been on the Discord for long, but it's been great to know you so far and get to know your thoughts. And this will be a good chance to hear your knowledge of the game.
Well, my knowledge is relatively limited, Ray, and I think having followed Saints for probably, I think my first game was 1987. It was I think it was Saints versus Forest at home on my birthday, and it was a 1-1 draw. So I think I've seen lots of draws, lots of losses, been through the mill with Saints, but we're still here. Funny enough, I got cross the other week and phoned into TalkSport when they were talking about, you know, whether Saints are going to survive relegation. And but yeah, this is my first introduction to sitting on a podcast and sharing my thoughts with you guys. But yeah, I really appreciate you inviting me on.
Oh, it's not a problem. It's great. It's always good to get to put a voice and a face to the texts and stuff like that. So it's great. Oh, yeah. Your TalkSport. I mean, is there a chance I could listen to that? Is it still out in the? On the interweb?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. So
was that Gabby Agbonlahor you were with?
It was Laura Woods. It was Andy Townsend.
Oh, nice. Ex-Saint.
And Ali McCoist.
Yeah, oh, Ali, I love Ali.
He would have been in that team in 1987. Yeah,
he would have been, yeah.
But yeah, what prompted me was there was a Leicester guy who phoned in and said, well, I've had it with Leicester and I'm putting my season ticket in the bin. And I was like, oh, my God. I can't handle it. So I had to ring up and go and you know, get
you
it off my
things
chest.
Are bad, you want to be a Saints
yeah,
fan.
Well, exactly. And I went off on a little bit of rant. And but when you're in the car and you're talking to them and just speaking your mind, you think, oh, that's okay. And then on YouTube, when you look at the video, you can see their reactions. And I think a couple of them put their sort of thumb up and were nodding along. But I think they were kind of going, yeah, this is a long-suffering Saints fan. Just get a City fan on there talking about positiveness, not relegation and the Championship. But there we go.
Although Leicester would feel a little bit more hard done by, considering they were champions not like 6-7 years ago now, and look where they are now. They're in the same division as us. So.
Yeah, and they're going for the whole, well, let's appoint another Pep, a Pep wannabe, from his academy of people that are trying to play his style. But we'll see how that goes.
Well, at least they're getting their managers named nice and early, unlike some teams. But yeah.
Russell Martin, he'd be announced this week, wouldn't he? Apparently.
I'm hoping tomorrow.
Oh, there we go.
I'm hoping, but you never know. So you said you've been a Saints fan since, 1987, so you've been through everything. You've been through relegations, that is plural. You've been through promotions, like me. I mean, I used to work at the club as well, so I've been involved with the football club for a long time, but yeah, not quite as long as you. I think my first game was the first Premier League season, actually. It would have been 1992, and that was on my birthday also. I went to see Blackburn, and that was just after we sold Alan Shearer to them, I remember. But we drew 1-1. So it's funny how you always remember your first games.
I think the seasons that I love the most or remember fondly the most were end of the 80s, that sort of 89 to 90, 91 was a great time, you know, when you had
Letizia
Wallace
coming
Brothers.
Through. And
oh, you had
Wallace's,
Ride
yeah,
Out. Letizia, it was just incredible, wasn't it?
Ruddock, was he there then?
Ruddock was there. I mean, we won, we beat Liverpool 4-1 that season. Yeah, Rob Wallace with a double. Letizia, yeah, it was cracking.
A little bit before my time. I remember Rod Wallace at Leeds. I don't remember him at Saints.
Ah, there we go. But yeah, we've had some good times since, haven't we? It's been okay. But I just think going to the Championship might be, I'm quite looking forward to it. You know, a bit of proper football and no VAR, which would be tremendous.
Yeah, I'm still a fan. Well, I say I'm a fan of VAR. I like the idea, but just not the way it's been used, and certainly not the people that are using it. But it will be different. I'm quite looking forward to it, actually, to be honest. It's a good chance. I mean, I said on our previous fancast that you're getting to see the likes of Sheffield Wednesday again. And I've never been to Hillsborough, so I'll probably make that trip. I've never been to the Coventry Stadium. So, yeah, it's a good chance to go and check out a lot more grounds than I have.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Positives. So you're a season ticket holder.
Yep. I've had a season ticket for probably the last 5 years. When I convinced my wife, oh, just get it for 1 year and, you know, just it'd be all right. Mm-hmm. And then every year I managed to slip and press buy again on the season ticket. And, we're going again. So I think I just love it. I go with my son and his friend. And, yeah, I just really like the community element of it, you know, being part of, you know, supporting the club. I really enjoy it. You know, I look forward to it. You know, the games aren't great, are they? But oh, God, you take the rough with the smooth, and that's a different. That's what being a supporter is, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah, I would just like it'd be nice to have a little bit more smooth. And hopefully next season we'll have that. Yeah.
Next season.
Where do you sit?
I know we sit in the family stand.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Moment. Yeah, my son's just nearly 13, and although he's certainly we'd certainly enjoy a bit of a noisier atmosphere and a bit more of a inclusive environment in singing and, you know, getting involved with the banter. And we went to Brighton away season. Oh, it's just incredible. We loved a bit of singing and but at the moment we sit in the family stand just in line with the goal, and it's nice. It's all right. I think probably next season we might switch, but who knows.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, next time you're around, and let me know, and I'll meet you up for a drink pre-game.
Yeah,
or
brilliant.
Game,
we'll do that. We'll go to the one on the corner. I always forget it. I've been in there, you know, 19 times a season. I still don't know what it's called. The one on the corner.
Chapel Arms.
Chapel Arms, there we go. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
All good. We'll do that.
Right, before we head into the show, I'd just like to add that if you're enjoying it, and then show your support and head to buymeacoffee.com/in that number. Yeah, any donation, anything. 10p, that's fine. Anything you wish, it will be greatly appreciated. Right, let's get cracking. Now, I suppose doing these fan casts throughout the summer, it's good to catch up on the news and everything that's happened over the past week. But, I mean, I had a guest on recent, I think it was Sunday I recorded. God, the days are meshing into one. So there's not a lot of news to go over, but the biggest bit over the last couple of days is the new kit. I trust you've seen it, and you said that you remember like 87, late 80s. And the kit is an 87-88 Hummel shirt.
It's the same.
What do you think?
It's the same, isn't it? It's just the same without Draper Tools written on it. But I think it's all right. I think it's okay. I mean, my favourite ever kit. I mean, it's probably my second favourite kit of all time. My favourite kit is the big black Draper 89-91 Hummel kit.
Oh,
you know, that was amazing. But I don't mind it. I think it's okay. Some people are saying it's a bit inverted commas championship, but at least we're getting back to at least some red and white stripes. Proper red and white, you know, red and white stripes on a shirt. So it's okay. And a V-neck collar. It's all right with me. I'll guess it. I'll get it. I won't get a name on the back because I'm too old, you know.
Yeah.
There's something and strange
plus,
about
it. You don't know who's gonna be here. So you go and get Prowse or Lavia, and that's it.
Yeah, just get my own name. I'll just get Dad.
Yeah.
Dad, 4-4 on the back. No, I won't do that.
The away one is white. It's exactly the same as the away shirt for that season as well. Obviously, without Draper.
With the green trim or whatever, yeah.
Do you know, I'm colorblind, so I can't actually see the colours very well. But it looks pink to me, but it's I've been told it's like a blue. But yeah.
Good.
And the third one is a black number with some yellow trimming, which I will buy because I really like the look of that. It's got some trees in it as well in the background of it, which is I think it looks really nice. Out of the three, I would say that the third one is going to be the best, in my opinion.
I think actually I think the Hummel kits are quite cool. Overall, I think they're all, okay.
I don't like the material, if I'm being honest. I think it does feel a little cheap. I mean, I preferred the well, obviously the Adidas one was a little bit better. I've also heard as well that this is the last season of Hummel, and we are going to be switching to Puma.
Oh, really?
Mm.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
Again, following in Manchester City's footsteps.
Yeah, I like Puma. I don't mind Puma, so I'll be happy with
Pep
that.
Pep likes Puma, and I like Pep, so that's fine.
Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. If Pep's wearing it, it must be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, Ruben Saez has actually been in the news this week about becoming a Reading manager. What do you think of that? He said that if he's not manager, he doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to take a back step going to coaching. But he's been offered a role at Reading, and Reading are now in League One. So that's a massive backward step for him, I feel.
I think if we look at his, you know, career progression, it might be a good thing for him to start at someone like Reading. You know, maybe he's moved his family over to the South Coast. It's relatively local. It'll give him a chance to ply his trade in a league where he's out of the public eye a little bit.
Going to pay Pompey as well.
yeah, absolutely. I think if he's given time, you know, because I think deep down, his ideas and his principles are right. They're about right. But I think his decision making and knowing when to make decisions in game, I think they need a lot of work. But you could see from the reaction from the players after his first game against Chelsea. You know, you could see from the players' reaction to that victory that they like him. They're bought into him. And, you know,
absolutely.
To be fair, I think the respect thing when they were calling him Ruben was a bit. I wasn't keen on that. You know, they should be calling him the manager or the gaffer or what, the boss or whatever.
I think it's different because he come across as that mate to them, you know, the understudy to Ralph, and Ralph was always known as the boss or Sarah or whatever, and he was kind of more like a looser kind of term. So when he got that managerial role, it was more, do we need to slip in and be a bit more formal?
Yeah. You give him the 5 McDonald's stars and he's promoted and then he marches around as the boss. But I think it could be a good move for him. And I think if we look at his maybe where his salary expectations are and his career progression, if you like, maybe it'd be similar to where he was as a first team coach for a Premier League team. I don't know how much people get paid, but fair play to him if he does go for that, because he's following what he wants to do and becoming a manager and, you know, grabbing it by the scruff of the neck and going for it. I think Reading are in a bit of trouble, aren't they? So it'd have to be a strong manager, I think, to get a tune out of them. But I'm sure there's Saints fans that would say, you know, good riddance. I think, you know, just wishing the best of luck. He did try.
Yeah,
didn't
sure.
He? You know, he didn't. He wasn't given the greatest opportunity to succeed, I don't think. I think the board at Southampton could have been much stronger in their decision making and not given him the job after the Chelsea game. just giving him the caretaker thing for a while and just see how he gets on. But, you know, anyway, they threw him to the Wolves, didn't they?
They certainly did. Yeah. Wrong place, wrong time, I think, for him. But yeah, Reading, I think, will be a good chance for him. And also that, you know, that Carabao Cup draw was on Thursday. So maybe we could get Reading in round one. You know, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? I'm gonna put that out there now, Snappy.
Yeah.
Saints and Reading with Sayers. Sport Republic, they're extending their empire. Negotiations are advanced stages, actually, for the purchase of a third club, Valenciennes, of the French second division. So all three of their clubs will be in second division now. Can we expect a pre-season friendly against them as well now? Because I wouldn't be surprised, you know, with their ego. And they, you know, they held a tournament and called it the Sport Republic Cup or something, because we've already got Göztepe in Turkey. I reckon that's what's delaying the Russell Martin thing, is them trying to buy another club and trying to put on these pre-season friendlies with their clubs.
I don't know what to make of it. The whole commoditized thing. I don't
like it.
I don't really like it. Funny enough, I am not that I scour loads of forums and stuff like that, you know, but I remember reading something a little while ago when Sport Republic were announced as our new owners, and someone who supported in Turkey put on that thread that, you know, just be careful, because if you don't start performing, then they'll start to take the investment out of the club and you struggle. And I sort of went, yeah, whatever, it's just someone who's a bit cross about them buying us. But I hope that doesn't happen, you know. But I suppose it, you know, in a way, if they'd have been eyeing up a Division One club in Italy, or another Championship team, or perhaps even another Premier League team, then that puts us in a worse position. You know, at least we'll be, you know, the leading club in worldwide club football, maybe, and where they'll put the majority of their investment, hopefully, anyway.
Well, I'm not going to say this without any certainty, but I'd like to think that we are the biggest club out of those three. And Sport Republic are based in England still. And if they decided to up ship and move to Turkey or move to France, and then it's obvious that their investment, majority of it, is going to be going to somebody else. But they are still here. So
I think we need to be positive about it, don't we? Because they have. It's not as if they haven't put their hand in their pocket the last year.
No, they have. You know, they've done wrong things with it, but I mean, they're still willing to spend the money.
It's the complete opposite
of Gout.
Decision making, don't we?
Yes,
you know, a little bit. Yeah, maybe with Jason Wilcox turning up and you know, the recent appointments across Sport Republic, that, you know, they'll allow people to do their jobs. And I think I know Rasmus Ankersen isn't isn't the fans' favourite, is he? But what I did hear, that when he was at Brentford, he had someone to sort of help sanity check his ideas. Some of his ideas were great, but he hasn't had a filter at Southampton. It's almost like, we'll just go and buy this player. Are you sure about that? You know, the scouting report says, do not touch this player with a barge pole. Yeah, but we want a striker. You know, I'm not suggesting I'm naming names, but, you know, we'll just pay loads of money, just get him in, give him what the fans want. It's the wrong player. Just do it anyway. You know, maybe there is a different discussion now happening, or will be, with Jason Wilcox, able to just settle down, make the right decision, you know,
Yeah, you kind of joke about it, but I can imagine that's how the January window chat went. It was probably that in about half an hour, and then Onyewachu actually
and
comes
then
in.
And then what other club we're going to buy?
Yeah. Romeo Lavia, he's been nominated for the Golden Boy Award. That's a fantastic achievement for him because, you know, winners of that award have gone on to achieve greatness in the game. You've had the likes of Mbappe, Haaland and Pogba, Gavi, all these young, brilliant up-and-coming players that have won that award. So just to be nominated, it is fantastic. It just shows what a great season he's had. And we still got relegated. He's 19 years old and we got relegated and he's still, you know, sought after.
Romeo Lavia is just such a good player, you know, and at 19 years old, wanting to play at the top level, you can't take that away from him, really. You know, you've got to support him in his ambitions to be in the world-class player, and he will be, won't he?
But of course, yeah.
I think, and throughout that season, you watch him week in, week out, and he is trying 100% every game. He wants to win. And you know, I remember when the goal went in against Arsenal, it was Alcaraz's goal, you mm-hmm. know, and after, you know, 30 seconds or whatever it was, and his reaction to that goal, he was buzzing, and I think he was probably quite enjoying his time at Southampton. But yeah, you can't stop him going elsewhere. I think if Arsenal were going to pay 50 million for him, but I was sort of thinking as well, but if they're going to buy Rice and Lavia, you know, I know they're losing Xhaka and they're losing Partey. But if they're going to have buy two holding, how are they going to play and where are they going to play Odegaard and stuff like that? Maybe they'll make those decisions. But yeah, Lavia's just class.
It's a good problem to have, though, if you've got players like Odegaard, Rice and Lavia, and you're thinking,
We've got Diallo, he's okay. And
Matt Grimes, there we go.
Well, Matt Grimes, I think if we get him for 10 million, he is...
A steal.
A brilliant, absolute steal. And if we're going to get, when Russell Martin is announced at some point before the start of the season, if we get a couple of those players that have come across with him, and Matt Grimes, you know, some of his stats are amazing. I think he's never been red carded.
Although Romeo has now.
Yeah, I think Romeo had about a million yellows, didn't he? You know, he just, the master of the tactical foul, or just pushing someone over. But Matt, never been sent off. He's got something like a 90% pass completion rate as well.
And then they're not all backwards or sideways either. There's a lot of them advancing. So yeah, he's the sort of player that we need. And the age of him, which is 27, I think he is. And he's Swansea captain as well, so experience and he seems to be a leader. So I do think, yeah, players like that, you need to snap up when you can. And for 10 million quid, yeah, definitely.
Get absolutely. Him. I think another player maybe from Swansea is Ryan Manning, because I think he's on a free, isn't he?
Yes, yeah, and there's Jay Fulton as well, which they've been looking at, but I don't know. We just need to get Russell Martin over the line. I've been saying this for weeks now. It's like all these transfer news, and it's just like, well, the biggest transfer is our manager. We need to sort that out first. But yeah.
Well, I was going to say, people have probably seen the masterclass videos on YouTube, but there's one that he does, Russell Martin masterclass. He talks about the Swansea v Cardiff games, and you can tell he speaks with a lot of technical ability, but what also sort of said to me when I was watching that was he gets to know the players really, really well, and he's so positive when he talks about the players and supportive and knows exactly what makes them tick and how they gel together, and hopefully he has enough time to get them understanding the system that he wants to play, because I think obviously with Nathan Jones, you know, when he got him on a, you know, go and have a couple of weeks off, lads, you know, and then Selez is talking about, you know, everything being okay in the house, and really it wasn't. You know, I think, hopefully he's given enough time. I mean,
I do need a little bit of positivity in Russell Martin.
I think he'd be okay. And his press conferences are pretty good as well. I've watched a couple of those. And he does have a bit of positive banter, and he seems to get on well with the press. And, you know, he's got that behavioural side of, you know, what you'd want from your manager, you know, personable. You know, he's certainly got that in his locker. He's all right.
Perfect. That'll be good. Yes, just a reminder that the championship fixtures are released on Thursday, the 22nd at 9 a.m. That's tomorrow as at the time of recording. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, Stu. I really, really want to know the schedules and everything. I'm just, yeah, I can't wait for it. I don't think I've ever been so excited for a fixture release.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the atmosphere at St Mary's. And you obviously go, Ray, week in, week out, and not if you go away, I'm sure. And the atmosphere at St Mary's has been drab this season, hasn't it? It's been really, really bad and flat, mm-hmm. you know. But surprisingly, we haven't heard the away fans singing Is This a Library, which mm-hmm. I found astonishing. But it is a bit of a library. And I think if we don't have the Premier League fanboys going and we get back to supporters going because they want to go and watch Saints and they want to go and watch and play some good football and win some games, and we might draw, we'll lose some games, but getting that atmosphere at St Mary's and getting it rocking and getting people up for it, that's what I'm really looking forward to. And I think we will see some goals.
They really do need to turn their home form around to get that crowd lifted again. Because, you know, two wins at home last season was just, yeah, it wasn't good enough. And you know, there's a reason that, you know, the only stands that seem to be rocking these days are the Northam and the Itchen North. There's a reason for it, you know. Mostly just
maybe,
sit down.
Maybe it's the brass band at the start.
Maybe. You know, I was on Match of the Day so many times this past season. Just, you could see me in the background with my head in my hands nearly every single week and just seemed to be shaking my head. And, yeah, it's... That's got to change. I want to enjoy it again, and I am positive this season. I really do feel that it's going to be. We need to turn that into a fortress.
Well, talking about that, in that masterclass video, Russell Martin mentions about the fact that when he joined Swansea, he was off to a little bit of a slow start, and that game against Cardiff, they won 3-0, and he said that was the start of galvanizing their relationship between the coaching staff and the fans. And I think that'd be really, really important to get them on board early doors.
He needs to have a connection with them straight away, doesn't he, really?
Absolutely.
After what we've had. Yeah, he needs to, that needs to be a priority of his.
Hopefully when he is on bail, he doesn't say all my family are Saints fans, because that tends to go down not so well.
No. Transfer news then. You've just mentioned one. Romeo Lavia is going to be the main one, obviously, Prowsey. But you mentioned it as well, Arsenal. Do you see that as a solid destination for him? Because if Rice does go there, I know Man United are in the mix for Declan Rice. But if Arteta does bring in Rice and Lavia, do you think he's going to see a lot of bench?
Yeah. But not necessarily. I think that's a bad thing. I think if he were to go to someone like Arsenal and be around those world-class players and work for a manager like Mikel Arteta, he's going to be learning so much. He's going to be coached to such a high standard. And, you know, although Lavia is class, he is class, he is a little bit injury prone, and saw it, you know, when he got injured against Chelsea at home and then he was out for 6 or 8 weeks. I think if we had Romeo Lavia in that team with Prowsey and with Alcaraz and a few others have a bit of continuity, I think that might have stood us in better stead, but we had to chop and change. But I think if he does go to Arsenal, if he spends, you know, 60% of the time playing, and he plays in all the cup games, and he comes on as a sub after 80 minutes or 70 minutes and just gets bedded in, that might help with his stamina and his conditioning as well, maybe. I don't know. But
I'd like to think at Saints, he's obviously doing a lot more defensively than he will need to be doing at Arsenal. But there's European football there for him, and it's, you know, moving to London at 19. I think it will be a fantastic move for him, and it's exactly what he needs. Yeah, you just mentioned the world class coaching that he's going to get. It's only going to make him better. Champions League football as well. It's going to be a massive pull for him.
I agree, 100%. I think, you know, I mean, let's face it. Wherever he goes, you know, if he goes to Arsenal or Man United, or, you know, I was clutching at straws in my mind, and I was thinking maybe. With Prowsey going, he'll he'll be bought in. He'll stay at Saints for another season because he'll want to go back to City after a year. And then with the buyback clause, he'll go back and work and play for Pep, because there's no better manager in the world, is there, than Pep?
No.
But perhaps,
apart from Nathan Jones.
He's the best in Europe, not the world.
Of course,
understood.
Yeah. How stupid of me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when City were, you know, interested in bringing him back, I mean, why wouldn't they be after the season he's had? That was my, you know, saving grace, thinking, well, you know, Pep's going to want him back. Will Saints sell him? Is he going to want to leave now? That was the only thing that was hanging in. But if, as I say, if Arsenal do come in with a massive bid, then Saints are obviously going to take that. But there's been a whole host of players that are, you know, going to be leaving. Prowse, Lavia, Amar Bella-Kotchap, Mohamed Salisu, he's kind of like dropped off a cliff recently. No one seems to be talking about him. You've got important players like Kyle Walker-Peters and Romeo Lavia.
Yeah.
Sorry, Raymond Perro.
Yeah.
There's a lot of important players there. I mean, the appointment of Russell Martin is surely, you know, holding all incomings and outgoings up. But do you think that we can keep any of these top players? And is there anyone that really wants to stay and truly fight for our return back?
Because my brain works in a certain way, I'm always sort of thinking, why, who could we keep? And if I was looking after that team, who would I want to keep in the Championship? In reality, it's going to be different. But I think we can probably get 200 million for the players we'll sell. But if Russell Martin's able to come in and get close to some of those players that are thinking that maybe their mind's somewhere else, they're thinking, where can I get a move away? But getting them bought into, you know, an idea of, look, just stay for 1 year in the Championship, we'll get promoted, you know, as champions or second, whatever, automatic. I think if we, yeah, you're right. I think Prowse is going to go, Lavia is going to go, Kyle Walker-Peters has said he doesn't want to be here, and I understand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got Onoachi will go, Bernie Wantella. I think if we lose those players, that when we get enough money for them, that's fine. Because I'd much prefer to have a team of players that want to be there and want to do a good job and want to get the team promoted, and they create that sort of that winning mentality that you had from a Burnley or even a Sheffield United last year. That's what we need. And I think who I think is key to that is Tino.
I'm quite happy to let. I say happy to let Kyle Walker-Peters go, but you know that we've got a solid backup option there in Tino, and you've also got James Bree, who can play a solid role in the Championship. But it's just like the players like Che that we all need to replace. Players like Raymond Perro as well, who doesn't really get a big enough mention.
I think he'd be really good in the Championship, Perro. You know, on the last home game of the season, we saw Perro was obviously injured. He came into the car park, and I was walking in with my son and his friend, and he was such a nice lad. He buzzed the window down. He's in the passenger seat having a photo, and my son was sort of, he wasn't going to go up and say, can I have a photo? And Raymond Perro's gone, hey lads, do you want a photo?
Oh,
and he's there smiling. It's a real nice touch. And I think hit up and down the flanks, Perro's quality. And if we get him that one side, Tino the other side, we've got Bree as a backup, who I understand was the best right back in the Championship last season that we bought him. That's a steal. But it's the centre back pairing. I think it's really, really important. But I think if we were to keep Che, Tino, Alcaraz. I know Stewie Armstrong's talking about leaving, but I think Stewie Armstrong is quality.
I love him.
And he injects, I love him.
Yeah.
And he injects so much positivity when he comes on. And he's a bit of an older player to help bring on the younger ones. But I think we need a mix. We can keep these players, but I think we need a mix of youth and experience, you know. And in that, you know, I think when you were speaking to chap last week, and he was
Dan
talking
Fox,
about spine. Yeah. Dan Fox, yeah, and he was spot on talking about the spine of the team. So, so important, especially if they're learning a new system or systems under Russell Martin. And I think that's really important. The dangerous thing is that I understand that Russell Martin likes playing three at the back.
Wow. I mean, his last few games for Swansea, he's been playing four at the back and he's been playing five in the middle he tends to go for a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-5-1. that's just based on his last few games. So I don't know. Obviously, if he's got the players at Southampton to play a back three, they always want to do it. They always want to try and attack down the flanks a lot more these days. And I don't like it. It's never worked for Saints, whether they're playing three at the back, five at the back or whatever. It just doesn't seem to work.
No, I mean, I think the playbook, inverted commas, has been ripped up maybe now, but that served us so well all the way through the age groups, you know, playing that 4-2-2-2 formation. Mm. But I think I really liked a 3-4-2-1, but also a 4-1-4-1 or a 4-3-2-1, which is obviously the 4-3-2-1's fashionable, isn't it? But he is what he wants is he wants to be able to encourage players to play football properly in that system and be good enough to not panic, you know. And I think, you know, if we was able to convince someone like a Lavia to stay, you know, I know it won't happen, but if he was able to do that, or even a Prowsey, you know, I mean, Prowsey's been there modelling the kit, surely he wants to stay. But if you have a Prowsey or a Lavia to sit in front of that back three or even back two, it would just be so good, because we'd have the quality, I think. But he does like to build from wide play, I think.
Yes.
But I think it was criticised by a lot of Swansea fans for, you know, because he's possession based, isn't he? But it was possession for possession's sake. I think there was a little bit of grumbling about that. But there's no way we can play 46 games in the Championship and play in a gegenpress, you know, which we tried to do, didn't we? And that's why we're getting absolutely knackered after a first half and then conceding in the second half. But I understand his team do score goals, don't they, as well? His teams do.
They do score.
Quite attacking, yeah.
Yeah, there's always the opportunity for players, or for Russell Martin, to say to these players that give us till January at least, and then we'll know halfway through the season, you know, if we are in with a shout of playoffs or automatic promotion, and maybe that might turn a few heads like Lavia that... Okay, you know, I'll sit on it until January, and there's always that. Am I being too hopeful there?
Well, I think maybe that, you know, because you get the media storm, don't you, around players, and aren't they? You know, Declan Rice has been going on for, you know, for what seems like a month or so. You know, Prowsey, Lavia, but that maybe takes the spotlight off of some of the players that we probably could do with keeping, like Camel Dean, like Alcaraz. I mean, apparently, is it Inter Milan and one or two other teams are interested in Charlie at Brighton, like Charlie Alcaraz. Yeah. Just keep hold of him. You know, he's played for us for 4 months. You know, I mean, yeah, we could get an extra 12 million, but so what? Let's just keep him. Let's keep a core group of players that are just starting to click. You know, I know Camel Dean Sulemana was playing with the shackles off against Liverpool, but and their defending was shocking, but if that's what we can expect, you know, that's so exciting for us.
Absolutely, yeah. And there is no obligation to sell. If these players are under contract, then they don't, you know, and by all accounts, we are one of the wealthiest clubs in the Championship. We don't need to sell. We've got all these parachute payments coming through also. And if we are to sell people like James Ward-Prowse and Kyle Walker-Peters, you can get big money for them.
Yeah.
We don't need to sell the players like Sulemana and Che and Alcaraz. We really do need them here.
And maybe if they do stay and there's a core group of those players that have been playing together for six, seven months, maybe they'll create a new Saints team, like a new culture of you know, because we've had, like, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, you had the Prowsey, Jack Stevens, Chamberlain, you know, those group that went through the ranks together. Maybe you'll have that again. I mean, obviously, Ricky Lambert was part of that group, you know, with Adam Lallana. You know, you had a core group of players that all knew each other with Jose Font, and they all knew each other and they all knew how to play together. And I think that's what we need, because it's been so disjointed with three managers, three different ways of playing. You can tell why players will get disengaged. You know, so I think we need, like, a solid, give Russell Martin, you know, give him a year. You know, and if it starts off a little bit slow, stick with it, because I think we can, you know, I think you can still win the league in the Championship and
that's got to be the goal, isn't it?
Let's just stick with him and go with it, you know, because
I don't think fans will be happy with that, though. If they start off losing, if they lose like 8 of the first, you know, 12 games or whatever,
That's a different story, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I do think a lot of the fans are going to start impatient straight away because, you know, that they shouldn't be playing at that level. But managers just don't get that time anymore.
No. But I think if he gets, if we do get him through the door this week, and then he has 2-3 months of hard work and a good pre-season to assess the players, to get them playing in a system or systems that he wants to play, get a bit of camaraderie, get a bit of culture and a bit of teamwork. And I don't see, I mean, maybe the question is who else would we want? Would we want, you know, Enzo Maresca? Would we want him? Probably not. I mean, I think he got sacked after 14 games or something with Parma, you know, would we have wanted Brendan Rodgers? I mean, someone said the other day, why don't we just go for Brendan Rodgers? Well, why would Brendan Rodgers want to come to a championship team? You know, I think we need to, I think maybe it's, you know, third time lucky after Ralph, and the board have finally made the right decision, which is go and get someone who understands the championship, understands the teams, understands the competition, understands, you know, the grueling schedule, and, you know, under what was pretty much on a shoestring budget, has got Swansea to within 6 points of the playoffs. You know, let's just do it and let's back him, because he is a young progressive manager and he does want to do the right thing and he says a lot of the right things and he seems to get people bought in. I mean, we do have to appreciate that we are playing in the championship, and we have got just as much of a chance as anyone else.
Absolutely. It's so unpredictable, that league. And it's a fresh start. So, you know, like you say, tear it all up, start again, create a new culture, and, yeah, see where it takes us.
And aggressively crack on. Because I think, you know, but I think Burnley, they probably just stuck their fingers in their ears and just went, well, it's one year, we're going to win the league. And they did. And they were unstoppable. And I think if we get that going, then we've got a great chance. Are we something like 3-1 to be champions? And
I think Leicester are favourites, and I think we were second favourites to get automatic promotion joint with Middlesbrough. So, yeah, that could be putting pressure on. But, yeah, like you say, fingers in your ears, just block it all out and just go for it. Just believe in what you can. I wonder how Burnley fans felt at the end of last season when they got relegated, or season before, rather. Did they truly believe that they were going to be able to come straight back, especially with the players they lost as well, the key players? Went back up to the Premier League. So maybe I should talk to some Burnley fans to get some more belief.
Well, so I went away to Burnley Saints once, and a couple of years ago when Gabby Adini scored, he scored in like the 82nd minute, and I was sat with a few other guys in the corporate bit, but it was right in with Burnley fans. And when Gabby Adini scored, I stood up and started cheering. And there was a guy behind me, lost his head, saying to the steward, "Get him out, get him out." But we had a little tour beforehand. And I think the Burnley Football Club is so important for that town, the revenue and the investment and all that sort of stuff. And I think probably they're in a similar position to us, aren't they, where they've changed their manager, they've changed their players, and they're going again, maybe the new system. So hopefully that's a good omen for us. But I think... I think maybe they just gritted their teeth. Maybe they just went, actually, we don't care. We're going to get promoted, and it is going to happen. And maybe there is that belief. A bit like some of the teams that, you know, all the high performing teams in the Premier League or in world, you know, Man City, Man United, they'll score in 90 plus four or whatever, because they keep playing, they keep going, because they know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So maybe there's that winning mentality that we're going to get.
Listen to us being all positive.
Yeah, well, actually, we haven't kicked a ball yet, so let's wait and see. You know, you'll probably see me after a game. You know, now we've met each other face to face, you'll probably see me after a game, you know, four games in, and you know, I'm tearing my hair out. I don't know, who knows? But we've got to stay positive. We can't control it.
Absolutely, there has been some football still going on, obviously, the internationals, and Gavin Bazunu and Will Smallbone both started for Republic of Ireland, and they won 3-0 against Gibraltar. Scotland won again. It's becoming a bit of a habit for them. 2-0 win over Georgia to remain perfect. Stuart Armstrong, unused sub, however. And Joe Aribo started in Nigeria's 3-2 win in Sierra Leone. Everybody else, I think Suleiman didn't play in Ghana's game, so that's all for the internationals. Now, in this series, as I say, we've been asking the fans and their perspective of the 22-23 season and the reason for why we failed. And, you know, there's many. But what are your main problems with this season? You know, perhaps sacking Ralph too early, too late, or maybe you believed he should have remained anyway. But where did it all go wrong? Where did it start to unravel for you? And where did you think that, you know, I'm pointing my finger at this?
No, I think there's a number of contributing factors to it. I don't think there's the one silver bullet. I think the appointment of Sport Republic and perhaps their naive approach to running a football club, perhaps, you know, they've gone and appointed manager. I mean, they didn't get rid of Ralph quick enough. They probably should have parted ways with Ralph this time last year, you know, because our run-in at the end of the 21-22 season was
dreadful.
Awful. It was dreadful, yeah.
I almost walked out on that Watford game, if you remember that. We were 2-0 down in the first half, and I think Elianusi pulled one back right on the in injury time at the first half, and I thought that probably kept me here, because otherwise I just felt like walking out. I thought that the end of that season was just, yeah, it was dreadful. But I was still Ralph in at that point.
I think that's the expectation as a Saints fan, or a football fan, but maybe Saints fans are just different to others, because our expectation is we think we should get the best managers and we think we should be pushing on and kicking on to be a mid-table Premier League team, and we're just not. We've been flirting relegation for the past three seasons. I do think Ralph did a good job in keeping us up on the budget that he had, and I think the principles that he has are good. And I think he had a connection with the fans. You know, I do like Ralph. And I think had we have kept him last season, we probably would be still in the Premier League. However, we'd still be in the same position in the close season, because we're looking to go and kick on, a bit like Bournemouth going and appointing their first international or foreign manager in their history to try and kick on. But I think, the board... poor decisions, managerial appointments, and then timings of sackings have been terrible. I think they're the main two reasons. I don't know why we didn't check Nathan Jones's credentials. I mean, I understand that Sport Republic is driven on data, you know. I've no idea. I've no idea how that appointment happened. You know,
it happened too quickly. They got rid of Ralph, and then it was like they already had him in line. They'd done their research, apparently. All the credentials that he had were the ones that they the parameters that they were searching for, and he fitted it. But he was named. I don't even know how long it was after Ralph got sacked. But it was far too early. Bearing in mind there was a World Cup break. I mean, if Nathan Jones was only going to come in and give them time off anyway, why didn't Sport Republic take their time a little bit more to appoint a manager?
Yeah, I think it was because Ralph was he was relieved of his duties on the Monday after the Newcastle 4-1 defeat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which actually. That was a game where Newcastle had four shots and scored four, and we just didn't take our chances. But I think Ralph was sacked on the Monday morning, wasn't he? And then on the Monday afternoon, but when it popped up on the internet, and it said Newton Town have allowed Southampton to talk with Nathan Jones, I thought it was a PR. I thought it was a PR thing. I thought it was a joke. I didn't think it was real.
It was a joke.
Yeah. But I think maybe, the board managerial appointments and their performance. Ruben Sellett says, you know, again, the right idea, the right sentiment, but no experience at being a manager, let alone being a manager in a Premier League football club.
In a position that we were.
Yeah.
Too much
to be. Such a fraught position we were in. And, we threw him in the deep end, didn't we? Bless him. But he was... absolutely splashing around, wasn't he, in the Atlantic? He was struggling. I wonder if it will come back to haunt him, because in one of his press conferences, one of the journalists asked him, will Saints stay up? And this was probably three or four games in, and he was like, yeah, we're definitely staying up. And maybe someone's going to send that clip to him at some point. You know, just maybe plan it out, Ruben, before you know you can't look, can't see into the future, dude. You know,
but, guaranteeing success, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I do think there's some players that perhaps aren't playing for the badge as well. You know, this season.
And Salisu.
Salisu. I mean, that is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, he's got a bad leg or a bad hip. You know. For 3 months.
So. But I mean, I'm convinced that Sport Republic, I mean, I've said this many, many times before, that when they allowed Ruben Sayers to stay on, they kind of admitted defeat with Nathan Jones. They said they don't want to make that same mistake again. They don't want to bring in another manager and then it doesn't work. So, that, you know, Jesse Marsh was talked about, you know, it was all agreed. But then they thought, you know, if he does fail, we're going to have to pay him off like we did with Nathan Jones. Let's just keep it on the cheap. We're not supposed to stay up. This is saving money. I'm convinced that was their decision in keeping Ruben Sayers on.
Maybe they did want a rebuild, like strategically. They wanted a reset of the football club because they didn't want to flirt with relegation again. But I think if they're looking at, if they're running that club on a balance sheet and they're looking at, we spent 140 million or something like that?
140 million, yeah.
Was it 140? Yeah. So yeah. We spent 140 million. If we go and get Jesse Marsh and it doesn't work, and we have to pay him because we're paying Ralph and we're paying Nathan Jones. What is that? 10 million?
Yeah.
You know, it's 8% loss, but we retain. I mean, how much is it? Is it 250 million?
Yeah, 250 million. But don't forget, I mean, trivial bits of money like that to Sport Republic are what's holding up this compensation deal with Russell Martin that they don't want to pay. So I am not surprised with Sport Republic's stance in this.
Yeah. It seems quite flippant though, doesn't it? Because in one hand you're going, yeah, okay, Paul Onoachu can't hit a barn door. Let's pay 18 million quid for him.
That's what the fans wanted. They wanted a striker.
Last chance. But did we want Paul Onoachu? You know,
at that time, I think we did. I did.
Anyone?
Me and Kev talked about the January window at the time, and I thought, this is a good window. You know, Alcaraz coming in, he looks to be good. You've got Sulemana, who I'm still high on, and Onoachu. It's appeasing the fans. That's what Sport Republic were trying to do. Obviously, looking back at it, you can't see that window as anything other than a panic buy.
No, absolutely. And I think it's the season started off where we were looking at Cody Gakpo, and I understand that deal was done.
Yeah.
You know, you had flights booked or whatever, you know, and personal terms agreed. But then he was playing a match that night. I mean, I don't understand that. But if we'd have got Gakpo, we certainly wouldn't have been in this position. If they'd have thought it out and strategically planned who they want to go. Because remember when we had the black box?
Yes.
And that worked. I thought that worked, that system.
Well, didn't we get Carrillo on that black box?
Oh, no, I don't know. Funny enough, he played in that Burnley game, and I saw him play football. And you know when, and probably everyone's done it, when they go and watch professional football, when they've played football at a half-decent standard. I mean, I wasn't amazing at football myself, but I played a bit. And you sit in the stands and you go, I wonder how long it would be if they subbed me on right now. And then they realised, they worked it out that I wasn't a Premier League player. And then they, I mean, maybe it takes
Ali Dia
or 2 minutes. Ali Dia, yeah. And that's a funny story as well, isn't it? That Ali Dia story.
Graham Souness will never live that down, yeah.
Well, Letizia thought that he was, he'd won a competition.
Yes, yeah, I've seen that.
And he was in the changing room. Who's this dude? Is he just doing a talk? Oh, he's getting put in a kit on.
It's George Weah's cousin. He must be good.
He's sitting in the dugout. You know, that's incredible. But I saw Carrillo play in that game at Burnley, and he was terrible, like terrible footballer. But I feel similar about poor old Paul Onoachu. You know, try and get him to press, and it's literally watching it in slow motion, isn't it? You know, frame by frame. You can see what's going to happen, you know. It's like watching on a VHS with, like, a broken tape, you know, with the play bit broken.
Yeah.
Mind, bless him. I suppose he's earned a bit of money. He'd be all right.
Right, we talked about Russell Martin and his brand of football and, you know, how we expect him to play, so I won't go into that again. But I do want to ask you the positives from the 22-23 season. What are they, in your opinion? Are there any?
I don't know. I don't know if there are. I think maybe it was one of those things when change happens and the people don't like change, they don't embrace it, and then they realise 6 months later, actually it was a good thing, you know. So maybe the reset, maybe the best thing about this season is us getting relegated, and the fact we can rejuvenate the club and we can push on again. Because if we consider like the Burnley comparison, Burnley played really drab football in the Premier League, you know, especially under Sean Dyche.
Oh God, yeah.
And it was Route One. It was really, really bad, wasn't it? It wasn't nice to watch. But you watch
it's the same
now,
as Claude Puel. It was just awful to watch under him. I don't remember it being so bad. And obviously you look back at it and say, well, he got us to a cup final. We finished seventh. You know what? Why are we complaining? Why are we sacking him? And at the time I was like, yeah, he needs to go. I can't watch this every week.
No. No, we can. But I think the best game he had was that cup final, wasn't it, against United? Was it League Cup final?
Yeah.
Gabbiadini scored two. Did we lose?
Well,
three,
he should have scored
it?
Three, but it was offside apparently.
Ah, yeah, you know much. Yeah, you've got a better memory than me. But I think if we use that Burnley comparison, if the best thing that we can hope for to come out of this season is a reset, and then we get that brand, because you remember that brand of football that we used to play, like between perhaps 2013 and 2017.
Yeah, it's like the Pochettino Koeman era.
Oh, incredible. Funny enough, my son was clearing out his bedroom the other day and he found a Saints shirt, a signed Saints shirt from the 2014-15 season this week. And he went, oh, I'll have a look at this, Dad. And it was, I said, I bet you there's some good signatures on there. And he went through it and it was literally like Sadio Mane, Virgil van Dijk, Pelle, Tadic, Krause. Incredible.
I didn't appreciate it as much at the time. It was just like, yeah, this is us.
And I suppose you're in it, aren't you? And you just, I think that one of those seasons when we beat Sunderland 8-0. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Just where are those days gone? But we will get them back.
Yeah, of course we will.
We're going to get them under Russell Martin. We're gonna win the league, and we're gonna get over 100 points, and we'll do that. let's just do that.
Why not? Right, I got some questions for you. Ones that we're asking every single one that come on. Number one, if Ralph had still been in charge, would we still be in the Premier League?
Yes, but we'd be playing just as awkward, you know, football, where everyone would have a cardiac arrest at the end of a game.
And of course that goes back to your positive statement that, you know, we wouldn't have got the chance to have a reset. It would have just been,
no,
it would have been like last season into this season again.
It's just heart in your mouth all the time. You know, I don't want to do that. I want us to score after 15 minutes and then after 45 minutes and then win 2-0. That's what I want. I don't want,
you know, oh yeah, that would be lovely.
That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think yes, we would. Yeah.
Okay. Your player of the season?
Romeo Lavia. By a country mile. I mean, I know you do the whole if in doubt, give it to Prowse. And I love James Ward-Prowse. And I think he's been such a good servant. But I think he just had the wind taken out of his sails this season. And you know, I can't really blame the guy. No. You know, I think Lavia has been just a breath of fresh air, and
he's been a joy.
Wish him all the best. Yeah. But I think there's been some good. I think Roman Perreault's been good as well.
I'm glad you said that, because I don't feel like he gets the recognition he deserves.
I just think he just seems like such a positive, you know, enthusiastic, you know, productive, aggressive player. I like him. Gets forward, but you know, maybe he doesn't get back as well as he could. But
yeah, he doesn't get back as well as he could, and his positioning sometimes is a bit of a question mark defensively. But yeah,
I think perhaps if Alcaraz had had a year, I think he would have been within a shout as well, because I think he's been a nice addition, and hopefully we keep hold of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Goal of the season?
Have we scored any? I didn't.
I think so.
Was Che's goal against Leicester?
Yeah, the start of the season. Yeah, the little scissor kick thing. Yeah,
I'll go for that one.
I think Tim was a fan of that one.
Yeah, I mean, Lavia's goal against Chelsea was good, but I'll go for that one.
Game of the season.
I didn't go to it, but I reckon Everton away would have been incredible.
That was the one that won. Oh no, that was my tip, because I just felt that we hadn't won at Goodison since 97, and it's kind of gone under the radar, that win.
I think maybe it's I had a dream when I was a kid about playing for Saints, like a football dream, you know, the really good ones. And I scored for Saints against Everton, it was like a 20-yard screamer. So I've always had a little bit of a thing about playing, you know, us playing away at Everton. And it's that, I can remember watching the goals come in on the soccer Saturday thing, and when Prowsey scored that second goal and his celebration, well, just such joy. That goal, and you could tell he was just completely pumped, and and also there's something about the Saints kit with black socks, you know, black shorts, black socks.
Yeah,
you mean business, you know. There's none of this white sock stuff going on. You
know? Oh, good. I'm glad you said that, because that was one of my favourites. And as I say, a season that we've had so little to cheer about, that was sensational, especially being 1-0 down as well, and you think, oh my god, here we go again, because Everton was struggling at the time as well, and it was such a relief. So you've mentioned quite a lot of the failures this season. If you were to put the blame on one thing for the failure of this season, what would it be?
Well, people would say Nathan Jones, but you can't blame the guy, you know. If he's a coach in football and he's offered a job to go and manage a Premier League team, he's going to say yeah, and we'll pay you a few million quid. Of course everyone's going to say yeah. The fact that he's completely stark raving bonkers is not his fault. I think it's unfortunately it's down to Rasmus Ankersen, isn't it? Well, actually it's not just him, it's the board. And you know, I watched the fans forum thing, and that was just like, you know, four politicians sat on. So, you know,
I think it's going to be a while before they do one again.
So, well, yeah, because they don't want to ask, you know, they don't want to answer the same, blaring the obvious questions. But I think it's the board for acting in such a with such calamity that they you know, if they'd have blindfolded each other and just with, you know, and just guessed what they should do, they probably would have ended up with better decision making.
I think Alex Haas, when he was on, he said it perfectly. Like, every big decision that they've had to make, they have made the wrong one. You know, there is not one decision that it could have been, oh, you know, that could have worked out that way. But every single one they made, whether it be transfer windows, appointments, it was all the wrong way.
And the transfer transfers. I mean, you can imagine those conversations, can't you? Right, around the boardroom table. Well, what do we need? We need a striker. Yeah, cool. Got a really good holding midfielder, Romeo Lavia. Yeah, we'll have him. Well, I need a striker. Yeah. Well, we've got a really, really good centre-back called Benacocha. We'll have him. Yeah, okay, cool. We need a striker. Okay. Gavin Bazunu? He's like seven, and he's never played in the Premier League. Well, we'll put him in goal, you know. Well, we need a striker. And then, you know, well, what about... And it's just... at what point do they shake each other and go, oh, right, you mean a centre forward? That's what you mean, you know. So maybe they won't invite me to be on their board, you know, anytime soon. Yeah.
Someone like
sarcasm is the lowest form of wit, isn't it? So yeah.
So they say. Right, I'm gonna record this prediction of yours, because I've done it so far with everybody else. So I'm gonna put yours in here as well, and then I'll remind you at the end of the season how wrong you were. What position do Saints finish in the Championship?
We're going to win the league.
That is the first.
We are going to absolutely smash it up.
Wow. I love
we're
it.
We're going to have over 100 points.
So when because, you said that earlier in the show, I thought you were joking. I thought you were
No, we're going to keep some of these players. We're going to keep Che. We're going to keep Sulemana, Tino, Alcaraz. Adam Armstrong's going to find his form in the Championship and get his confidence back, bless him, because I think he will do a good job in the Championship and he wants to stay. I'd say we will be promoted automatically.
Okay, I'm putting you down for first.
Yep, first, over 100 points. We're gonna tear it up.
I'm going to write that as well, over 100, because, yeah, that's unbelievable almost. I'm here for it. I love it. And as I say, no one's said that yet so far. I think we've got...
Yeah, and if we don't, I'll still slip and click apply for another season ticket when we're playing another season Championship football.
Yeah, as long as it's not League One.
That's not going to happen. I mean, if you look at some of the games, you know, some of the championship games, the quality of football is so different to the to the Premier League. And I think that's why Burnley can smash it up and then go and play City and lose 5 or 6 or whatever they did. Because it's different, isn't it? It is just a different, it's a different level.
You know? Yeah, that's it's more physical.
That's why I think if we keep those players and we invest in a couple of good centre-backs, a good holding player, a striker, I think we'll be all right.
Oh God, I really, really hope this optimism rubs off.
And we've got a kit to play in as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Red and white.
Bring back the good times.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's football, isn't it? It's just
unpredictable. The championship especially. Yeah.
But it's fun. Football's a game, isn't it? It should be fun, you know.
Yeah.
I know it's not always a Saints fan, it's more, you know, depressing and aggravating and frustrating, but you know, you can't influence it. You've got to go and support them, and you know, but I'm sure when we score our first few goals at St Mary's, it'll be rocking and everyone will be having a great time, and we'll just enjoy a year in the championship playing some different teams and, like you say, go to some away games and see some stadiums you haven't seen before, and you know, and not just go to St Mary's because Pep's on the sideline and you're watching Kevin De Bruyne spray the ball around and Haaland score scissor kicks. But I think we're too nice as well. You know, we need to give the away fans less seats for once.
Yes. Oh, you know, I think they're going to have to lose that nice tag in the championship because you have to win ugly.
So nice. No game management, no surrounding the referee, no fighting for everything. That's what I've saw this
and
season.
And no VAR.
No VR and be aggressive and go and win. That's what we need to do. Just drive it, you know. But I think with the right formula, we'll be good.
Brilliant. I'm so glad to have chatted to you today. I needed a pickup and this has definitely given me it. I'm even more excited about the season now. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Anytime, Ray.
Excellent. Right. Yeah, it's been fun. It has been fun. It really has. And you know, I'm on very limited sleep. I haven't had anything to eat, but I am, I'm buzzing now. So, yeah, thank you. And hopefully I get to see you at St Mary's next season. We can meet up for a beer and, and chat
in
about
the pub
something.
I go in every other week and I don't know the name of it. Yep. So that one.
Excellent. Right. Yeah. Stu, thank you so much for coming on and for, you know, I know you're a busy man. You're at work now. So this is your lunch break. So. Yeah, thanks
very
much.
It's important, Saints, isn't it? So,
priorities.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
Yep, cool. And I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Ray. Take care.
You too. Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.